Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I've got Justine with me.
Good afternoon everyone.
And it's a pleasure to introduce Will, who has come to talk to us about his story, his eye condition and what he's up to now. Hiya Will.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
No worries, thank you for having me.
So Will, do you want to explain a bit about kind of you and about your, you know, a bit about your background, if you like?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Will Murgatroyd and I'm 21 years old, currently studying at the University of Bedfordshire's Luton campus for 3 years, studying a radio and audio degree in my first year at the moment. On top of all that, I'm also a radio presenter by profession of sorts. I've been working on internet radio, as of course you will know, Justine, having been a co-worker of yours from World Awakening.
Yep.
Yeah, for a good 3 or 4 months. So and I'm now working on Ultimate Radio UK.
Marvellous.
That's pretty much what I do these days, to be fair.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So what's your eye condition, Will? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my story is a pretty unique and interesting one, actually, because when people talk about sight loss, you think about, you know, genetic conditions or losing your sight later on in life, you know, as in when, you know, when you're elderly or what have you, that's sort of what you think of. But mine is unique in the sense that I have a condition known as shaken baby syndrome, caused of course from being shaken by my evil father, and I will say evil because he is, at the age of 7 weeks. So just to give you a bit more information, so I was born on October the 29th, 1999, and the incident in question occurred when I was 7 weeks old on December the 19th. And it was a Sunday night. My mum had gone out with a friend for a few drinks because, you know, after having me, she hadn't really had the chance to get out there and have her freedom. So she thought, well, why not go out, have a few drinks and what have you. So she did that. All was fine. She left me in the care of my father. As I say, all was fine. I was in my cot asleep, and I do believe he spent a lot of the time downstairs or leaving it on his exercise bike, which is not the fatherly thing to do at all. And of course, I don't remember a single thing of what happened that night because I was so young.
Yeah.
But what did happen was he came up supposedly to, you know, feed me or give me my bottle and stuff, and he took me out of my cot and shook me. And there is actually an article online about him. So in a way, he is out there online. There is an article about him. And it states that in a fit of temper, he did this. But I've no idea, or we've no idea, what caused him to break in such a way on that night. My mum and her friend come back, and there he is at the door saying, oh, the baby's not well. And they rush upstairs. There I am on the edge of the bed, emitting high-pitched squeals, which, of course, I know babies do, but this was just, you know, very unreal, very unusual. And I was rushed to hospital, and after the many tests and what have you, it obviously transpired that I had been shaken. And for whatever reason, he was found not guilty and is still at large to this day.
Wow.
So how did that affect you, Will, growing up? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have known anything about that until you were a bit older. But that must have really affected you growing up, finding out about that.
It is interesting you say, because I don't remember at all when I was first told about it. You know, because when I was younger, I was just visually impaired. I sort of knew to an extent what had happened and who was responsible. But, you know, and I knew that, you know, because for several years it was me and mum until my stepdad came on the scene in 2014, but for several years it was just me and my mum. But as I say, to be honest, I just got, you know, we all just got on with things. Mm-hmm. And I think I can say the exact same thing throughout our lives. I think it's affected my mum a lot more than me personally. There was a period of time, and I will come to this now, in fact, I have actually made the contact with him I've actually spoken to him since it happened, and that was a very difficult thing to do. But I'll run through that if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. So it firstly occurred back in it was August. It wasn't. It was April of 2018, and we had gone to the cinema. So me, my mum, and my stepdad. We'd gone to the cinema to see a great film called Ghost Story, which was audio described. And I was loving it, you know, and towards the end, there were about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to go, and it lacked in audio description. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my, you know, well, I turned to mum and I was like, hey, you know, what's happening? And obviously, you know, being in the cinema, she can't, you know, as if we're at home, yeah. she can't pause yeah. it and sort of be like, hey, right, this has happened, that's happened, this guy's doing this. So she was like, right, I'll tell you later on. And I'm thinking, do you know what? For the first time ever, I'm sitting there going, I'm angry. I'm actually really angry. Mm-hmm. I'm angry because I'm sitting here and I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling like I can't enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a shouting match on the way back, me, my mum, and my stepdad. And it's probably the first outburst the first of many I've had due to what he's done. Mm-hmm. And it was then that my folks said, why don't you make the contact with him to, you know, to ask him, just to try and get some answers. Why, you know, why has he done this? I mean, the crazy thing was he told my mum in communication shortly after the incident, I will see him again. I will make the contact when he's 18. I was 18 at the time and he had not made the contact. Now, I don't know why it took me several months to do this, but it was in August of 2018 when I finally made the contact. Now, he worked in the same sector as my mum, so I knew what his email address was. It was just the yeah. exact same, but just name changes. So I emailed him with a simple, because it was hard to know what to write, because what do you say to somebody who abused you like that, especially after all this time? And I ended up just writing something simple, like, I'm writing to you to ask why you did this and why you left us to pick up all the pieces, and send it. 2 days later, he comes back with, oh, so great to hear from you. And I did not do anything to you. I've played over that night time and time again in my head. And I swear all I did was try to revive you after you fell ill. How he came to that conclusion, I've no idea. But he's like, oh, I have two sons who know all about you. No, they don't. No, they do not. There was a bank account set up for you many years ago. Blah, blah, and, you know, just telling me all this stuff, but not giving me any answers to the question that I wanted answering. So, I, you know, me and my family, we're not having any of this. And so we sat down and we compiled a hard-hitting response to him. We just said, well, actually, you did do this. You can say what you want and think what you want, but you did do this, and here's what I can't do or struggle to do due to what you've done. And would you believe it? No reply. No reply whatsoever. And he retired a few months later, but I'd not given up at this stage, because the outbursts continued, and the outburst triggers could be anything from something simple as knocking into something or someone or what have you. I know that sounds stupid, but that's one of the triggers, all the way to what started all this contact, you know, not being able to understand something on the TV or a film, whatever, due to lack of audio description. And these outbursts have resulted in many altercations in our household, which have left, you know, which have resulted in my mom just walking out, my stepdad just sitting there frustrated, and me just, you know, in some ways crying.
Yeah, because, not knowing where to turn, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a year later, and this is this is kind of not the risky part, but the kind of real nerve-wracking part, because my mum was sorting through some old junk, and she ended up coming across some old emails from him, which included some phone numbers. Mm. And I was like, right, what are they? They were yeah, and they ended up being the landline number, his wife's number, and his mobile number. So I basically started off by messaging his mobile to find out if it, you know, if he still had, because these emails were from, I don't know, 2008-ish, if not before that. So I was like, well, he probably won't have these numbers anymore, but hey, let's try him. And the mobiles didn't exist. But one night around 9:30, 10 o'clock-ish, I called the landline and convincing myself, no, I won't get through to him. And it started to ring and I'm like, oh my God, am I going to get him or am I going to get some elderly lady who I've just woken up? And I got him and I just, and there I am just standing there. I say his name and he knows who I am. And it turns out the reason he knows who I am is because he's been following me on YouTube.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm very calm, not over the next 25 minutes, half an hour. And it literally is just the next 25 minutes with me swearing my head off at him. And him just sitting there going, oh, calm down. You're abusing me. I'm thinking, abusing you?
Oh, dear.
What about what you did 21 years ago? Or, well, less than that time. But and it ended up with me just going, do you know what? We're going around in circles here. You know, I've done all I can. I never want to speak to you again. And it was just, and I hung up and I was like, you know, and I still think about it to this day. I cannot believe that I called him. You know, all these outbursts, all these, you know, all these times where I'd just been so angry and so frustrated at what he'd done, I'd actually confronted him.
It must have been quite a big thing to do. I mean, since that time, how have you, like, do you still have the outbursts or have you sort of, was it almost a sense of relief or?
To be honest, the last outburst I had was September. Right. And I think it was because I had a massive, massive, massive one in March when the first lockdown started. Right. And I mean huge. Oh my God. Because it started off with the usual anger at something and then ended up with me slamming doors, swearing. And I think that really took all the anger out of me and sort of, I don't know, because I'd had several out, but because in the month following the phone call to him, which was 2019, I was at RNC in Hereford and my mental state was just awful for like 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was binge eating. I was doing anything and everything I could that I thought would help me in the long term, but it didn't. Yeah. But luckily after, you know, all the counseling I had and, you know, it was, yeah, I'm a lot better mentally now.
Yeah. Calming, yeah,
I was going to ask if you'd had counselling to sort of help. Loads. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Did you go through mainstream education, Will? I know you said you went to RNC, but before that, did you go through mainstream with support?
Yeah, so the only mainstream school I've been to was my primary school in Croton, over here in the Northwest. And I went to a new college in Worcester from 2011 to 18, I think it was. Yeah, and then RNC from 2018 to last year. And now, of course, I'm at university.
Mm-hmm. So you've obviously been to hell and back, really, and adjusting. Mm. And that must have been really difficult. But what does the future hold for you? What are your aspirations? Obviously, you said you're studying media and audio and everything. Radio, so what does the future hold for you? What's your dream?
Well, I think to definitely continue my presenting career as I'm doing now. Obviously, I'm volunteering for Ultimate Radio, which is just an internet radio station. And I think after uni, I'm really hoping, if not during, I'm really hoping to look into some sort of paid employment.
Yeah. And what would that be? What would the ideal be for you?
Well, ideally presenting, but I know you can't just start with that. So I have looked into a couple of radio stations, but obviously I've heard nothing back, probably due to the pandemic. But I think, yeah, that's definitely my career aspiration to go into some line of work in radio, yeah, whether it's presenting or broadcast assistant or anything.
I take it you're sort of studying at home at the moment, are you? You're not actually going to university.
Yeah, I am at home, yeah. I want to go back, but approaching my folks about the idea and they get mad. So it's like, well, I can make my own decisions. I mean, because it's funny, like, online teaching is obviously continuing until after Easter, but the campus is still open. So technically you could go back. This is why it's so like, oh my, you know, what do we do? Because I think you can only take so much family life, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially as a young person.
Yeah, you want to be out there partying, don't
you? Oh God, yeah.
Absolutely. And Will, what message would you give to any sort of, what advice, if you like, would you give to any other young person who's, well, hopefully not been through quite the same experience, but who's been through sort of, you know, grown up having lost sight at a young age and, you know, had to sort of adapt to life. What advice would you give to them?
I think follow your heart. Yeah. That's the main piece of advice I give you, because no matter what you've been through, and we're actually writing a book about this, and it's exactly what I say in my, you know, in the first part of my point of view, follow your heart, go chase your dreams. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You know, you can live on and get past. And if you do that, then you'll have a great life.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, I didn't even know where I was heading. I didn't even know that I was going to university. I didn't even know that I'd be working on radio.
Yeah.
But with perseverance and commitment, here I am now.
Good for you.
Thanks, Will. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for sharing your story so candidly and openly. Me.